Welcome to Around the Ozarks, a public affairs program brought to you by your local Midwest Family Broadcasting Station. Here's your host, Scott Meyer.
And good morning and welcome again to Around the Ozarks. I'm your host, Scott Meyer, the general manager here at the Midwest Family Broadcasting Stations. And as we try to do each and every week on Around the Ozarks, bring you someone of interest talking about maybe a book they've written. Some politicians, we try to stay away from that. And more often than not, we do a lot of charity work here on this show. And we also like to talk to entrepreneurs or people in positions of high positions within companies that are local companies that have grown or are growing here locally, and to help you get a little better idea of what they are and who they are and what they're all about. And this morning we're doing that because we've got a good business friend of mine, John Everett, is here. John, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
And John is, you can call me Scott.
I mean, okay.
Sir,
okay.
I appreciate that, but even my wife never calls me sir, so... but anyway, John is the, are you the president and CEO?
That is correct.
President and CEO of Legacy Bank and Trust. The primary address is Rogersville, but that's not it. There's more.
Right. Correct.
And where are they?
We have seven different locations in six different counties. So we stretch all the way from Henry County in Clinton, Missouri, two locations up there, down into Springfield, obviously with our location here in town, and then we start to spread east from there. We go down into Sparta, Missouri, Rogersville, Mountain Grove, and Plato. So we stretch several different hours in each direction and then around the Ozarks.
Now, somebody in the audience might have a little twitch and go, Plato.
Plato, Missouri. That's where it started over 100 years ago.
So, really?
Yes, that was the original bank. It was the original Bank of Plato that started in 1907. And it was Our shareholder base bought that bank in 2001, and that was when the name was changed to Legacy Bank and Trust. But Plato, Missouri, the center of the United States based on the 2010 census.
So, it's actually the center of the universe?
It actually is the center of the universe is Plato, Missouri. So, yes.
Interesting. Have you been there?
I was just there this morning. A couple days ago.
So is there any reason any of us would ever want to go to Plato?
Oh, of course.
Other than the bank.
Yeah. It is where you enter to the south side of Fort Leonard Wood. So that's probably the trick is that what people would know is that you normally think of St. Robert, Waynesville as Fort Leonard Wood, but the South Gate does come out right by our bank.
By Plato. That's interesting. Anyway, John has been with Legacy Bank and Trust now for how many years?
Nearly 15 years. It'll be 15
years. And you're a young man, so this is quite an opportunity.
I started right out of fifth grade, yes.
Yeah, right, right.
No, I think I'm going into my 28th year of banking, and so about 15 of it has been with Legacy.
So let's find out a little bit about my guest this morning, John Everett, who's the CEO and president of Legacy Bank and Trust. John, are you from this area?
I am born and raised in Springfield.
Okay. Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Glendale. Yeah. Okay. So I'm the youngest of five kids, but we're Springfield roots all the way back. Both my mom's side of the family and my dad's side of the family have been inside of Springfield since the 1800s. I mean,
it goes way back.
Yeah. So I've been, so I'm, we're either, as we talk about sometimes, either too poor or too stupid to ever move. But the serious part is we love it here. So, no, I've got my whole family still lives
here. Well, I've only had a chance to live in this area for 3.5 years, and I got to say, I've fallen in love with the Ozarks. I am one of those guys, though, that tells people bad things about the Ozarks because I like the secret.
Exactly. So like that. So, no, we love it. I mean, and so I've been blessed to be here my whole life.
So. No, that's great. So, well, let's talk about that a little bit. So, you must have had a family homestead if it's the 1800s.
Well, most of them have been put over. So, I mean, in other words, like I did not live there, but my family lived on Cherry Street, which was my older brothers and sisters lived there with my parents. So that now has been moved over with Missouri State, has kind of pushed that over and where they used to live on Cherry. And then almost nearly place where my family has been has just turned into a different development from place to place to place.
So, what was the early Everett family involved in other than farming? They must have moved from farming to something.
Well, I mean, it went all the way back from long time on the Everett side was one of the first fire chiefs in Springfield was in Everett as we go back through our history. So that was long time ago. Mm-hmm. One of the first city administrators was a Johnson, which came on my mother's side.
Okay.
So it's always been in some kind of level through there. I've had a grandfather was an architect here in town that designed several different buildings throughout the town. My dad was a banker all the way back to Union National with the people that would remember that. There's a lot of people who don't remember that name, but back in the 50s, he started in banking in here. So, I mean, It's been varied through what the different members.
But the Everett, I mean, at a time when not everybody was going to more education, they were, you know, they're finding their way into farming or manufacturing. It sounds like your family was big on education.
Yeah, they,
way
yes.
back in the day.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and when we talk about maybe roots in Springfield, I think my oldest daughter's at Drury now, and I think she'd be the 15th one inside my immediate family would have a degree from Drury. So,
Is that right?
we don't leave. I mean, we stick and stay.
Sure.
I mean, we just stay here. So yeah. So I've got a lot of family that's passed through on the Drury side. So yeah. So we've been, I mean, a lot of teachers in my family. I mean, we cross all the gamuts. I mean, we hit everything.
My guest this morning on Around the Ozarks is John Everett, obviously one of Springfield's very own. Currently president and CEO of Legacy Bank and Trust. So, John, you graduated from high school. You went to Drury
as
well.
Mm-hmm.
And you thought, boy, I want to run a bank.
No, that was the last thing I wanted to do.
So what did you go to college for?
I originally thought I was going to be an accountant.
Okay.
That was where my brother's an accountant here in town. And so I thought that was the best way to go. I love numbers. I love finance. And somewhere around tax accounting in college, I decided this is not my path. So while I was doing that, I worked part-time at a bank. Sounded great on a resume. Seemed mm-hmm. like a professional job to work in a bank and be a teller. And so when I graduated college, I thought I want to go into, you know, stock analysis, something like that, the world of finance. And while I was doing it, the bank I was working for at the time, I was with UMB, offered me a permanent job to stay full-time. And I thought, okay, I'll stay here. I'm dating a girl from this area. I'll stay here a little while longer than, you know, now 8 years later, I'm still in banking. So, I mean, it just caught my blood.
So, is it the banking's fault, your now wife's fault, or is it just, did you have the eyes set on Kansas City or St. Louis?
I really did.
Dallas
I really thought Kansas City or St. Yeah. Louis is what I would do. And interviewed for a job or two up in St. Louis, thinking I would be on that analyst side. And mm-hmm. and somewhere along the way, it just kind of hit me of, I just don't know if I'm really ready to leave. And I really do want to stay here. I have an opportunity here. And just thought that was really kind of maybe my route that I hate to say safe and being maybe a banker that where you think about safe and conservative. Mm-hmm. But that was where I just decided, let me stay in this banking thing and give this a run. And it's worked out.
And the rest is history.
The rest is history.
So this young woman you were dating, is that the mother of your children?
Yeah,
today?
That is the mother of my children. Yes, okay. we have two wonderful daughters together, and so I mean, yeah, I've been very, very fortunate.
Did you meet her at Drury?
I did at Drury, and matter of fact, she was there, and we also she was working at the same bank at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So and then she went on to the world of education, and so that and that side, which was like I said, a natural course. I've got two sisters that were teachers, so it just it everything made sense.
Okay, and does her family have a legacy here as
no,
well?
No, she was originally from the Monette area, and,
okay,
and so that was where she was from.
Oh, all right. Now everybody sees bankers in many different ways, and I've gotten to know you pretty well, and you're more extroverted, I think, than most bankers might be considered. Certainly more extroverted than I think most accountants would be. And there is an old accounting joke, you know, the difference between an extroverted or an introverted accountant.
They look at your shoes.
Yeah, they look at your shoes and they talk to you.
Yes.
You've heard that.
Yes. Oh,
you've heard all the accounting
If there's
jokes.
An accounting joke, I play it on my brother.
So you've been there, done that. But when I first moved to the market, I found it really interesting that there are an enormous amount of community banks around here.
Yes.
And credit unions.
Yes.
Why?
Great question. And I think just, you know, Springfield's that right-sized town. You know, it's a perfect environment with you know, not a wide, diverse business base, mm-hmm. a lot of small businesses, a lot of different independent businesses that employ 10 people, 15 people, which is a great business or customer for a community bank like ours. And that's what I think you see is a lot of different community banks inside. What I call a community bank is anything probably under a couple billion dollars. And so
is that in deposits or in loans?
In total assets.
Total assets.
In total assets.
Okay.
So that would include basically all your loans is your predominant asset of a bank. But I think it's just that right thing that we've got just a lot of those different small businesses and a nice sized town, nice sized market that supports a lot of different banks. And so mm-hmm. Springfield. You know, I mean, the other joke, you know, is that on every corner, you're either going to find a bank, a church or a cashew chicken place. And so, I mean, it's those three. And so
and you don't sell any cashew chicken.
We do not sell any cashew chicken.
Probably don't preach a whole lot either.
But I pray a lot.
Oh, you do? Okay. Well, that all fits together.
Yeah, exactly.
So the reason there are so many banks here then really comes down to the fact that it's a great business community.
Yeah. There's not, you know, the one of the best things is if you talk about the Springfield economy, and you hear the chamber talk about this quite a bit, it's just a diversity. I mean, when you have the pillars of the school systems between Missouri State, Drury, OTC, Evangel, at bringing a lot of the kids, and you've got the hospital situation, obviously with Mercy and Cox here, that you find that, and then those are your biggest employers. Mm-hmm. Well, they're recession proof. I mean, they are completely recession proof. So even in the worst of the downturn, you know, 10 years ago or however now long it's been. Springfield didn't get hit as hard as what probably other places did, because we don't have those major employers that if they suffer and lay off, we're fairly insulated from that in Springfield. So, which I think is just what's helped our economy so much.
John Everett is my guest this morning on Around the Ozarks. John is the CEO and president of Legacy Bank and Trust here in many different places here in Southwest Missouri. Is there a chance, John, that you're going to move across the borders at all? Are you finding your way into Arkansas?
We don't ever rule it out. We're not actively seeking it, but we certainly don't rule it out. We have a particular designation as a community development financial institution. The bank does. It's a designation from the United States Treasury. There's only about 140 banks in the country that have this designation. And as part of the designation, how you get it is that you originate 60% or more of your loans by dollar amount and by count in low to moderate income areas. And so it's very important to us that we loan in some of the most distressed areas that we think need the investment the most. Mm-hmm. And so we really do pay particular attention to how we lend and where we lend. And we'll always stay inside those markets. So we're not just this grow-to-grow kind of bank for growth's sake. When we grow, we do it with a purpose, and we do it in areas that we think need and are most desperate for development, which is truly how you end up with a bank in Plato, Missouri, or Sparta, Missouri, or wherever it may be. There's obviously huge pockets of Springfield that need investment. And so that's what we look to do, and that's kind of what we specialize in.
Is the bank traded as a stock?
Yeah, we have about 80 different shareholders that comprise
somewhat employee-owned.
Yeah, we do.
Owned.
We have probably about 80, roughly 80 employees that work for the bank. And I haven't done an exact count. I would probably tell you off the top of my head, anywhere from about 20 different employees have an ownership stake inside the bank. And so between that and probably just 60 or so different outside shareholders probably make up about our 80 different shareholders.
It really makes a difference, doesn't it? We're employee owned. We have 10 of our shareholders are here in our facility. We have 50 full and part time. But I think it keeps the bathrooms a little cleaner. Certainly, I think everybody's attitude is a little brighter.
Absolutely.
Because we all have a stake in it.
Absolutely. I mean, when you're in the lending business and you're making a loan out the door, well, all of a sudden, when you realize it's partially your money, you're loaning out the door, you think about it a little bit more. You don't focus on growing just to grow the bank, or you try to grow smart. You try to grow safely. You think differently when you realize I have a stake in this outcome, and good or bad, and either way. And so it really has in my opinion, that's what's really led to our performance the last 5 years or so. It's just getting that culture set of thinking like owners.
John Everett is my guest this morning, the CEO and president of Legacy Bank and Trust. When we get into the second half of this morning's show, we're going to talk about some of the changes that are going on in the banking industry today, just like there are in any industry in America and around the world, and get John's take on where this is going, where it is, where it's going, and what we can expect to see in the future. You're listening to Around the Ozarks on the Midwest Family Broadcasting Stations, and we'll be back right after this.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Around the Ozarks. You're here with your host, Scott Meyer, the general manager here at the Midwest Family Stations. And we've been speaking with John Everett, the president and CEO of Legacy Bank and Trust here in Southwest Missouri. And John has been kind enough to share some of the insights in the bank and why the bank. Let's talk about, you've been with the bank now, you said, how many years?
15 years.
Okay, 15 years. So 15 years ago, you were working at another bank.
Yes, I was working with the bank. It turned into the Signature Bank, which eventually turned into Bancorp South years later. But it was at the time when the merger between the bank and Signature Bank was happening. I was fortunate enough to be a founding employee of the bank in 1997. Mm-hmm. Went to work for them before we had a charter, before we could take a deposit, and helped start a bank from day one, and was just really blessed to be at that opportunity. And so in 2004, when we merged with Signature Bank, that's when an opportunity jumped up with Legacy, and when they came to call for an opportunity, I jumped on it at that point.
So when you let's talk about doing a startup bank. Yeah. You were young, girl.
Yes. Yeah, 26, I think, maybe.
Your girls were how old?
Not born yet.
Okay, so it was just you and the wife.
Yeah.
And you're going in, you're leaving a job that's paying you something.
Correct.
To go to something that was...
You're hoping it's going to work, that's for sure. I mean, you know, we're at that point, we're going around and collecting money from shareholders to help capitalize the bank.
Sure.
You take that and you go to the Division of Finance in the state of Missouri and say, here's our shareholder base, here's what we think we can do, and will you give us a charter? And so it was during that formation period that I joined. I felt pretty good. We had an amazing board of directors.
Yeah.
And at that point that were committed, I mean... David O'Reilly and Larry Lipscomb and Jack Stack.
That's a pretty good start.
Roseanne Bentley, Senator Bentley. I mean, so I felt pretty good about our chances of putting this together, but it was an amazing opportunity at that point to be in my mid-20s to get into something like that.
But even so, I mean, the conversation with your wife at the time had to be tense.
Well, it's definitely are you really ready for this opportunity? And I knew that. I knew if you get me in there, I'll do whatever needs to be done. Yeah. If I'm picking up trash in there, whatever it's going to be, give me a chance, and I'll work hard and prove myself. And just there's nothing like, I think, starting off with a small organization like that and just learning everything from the ground up. And so, it was doing a bit of everything. And so I used that and took whatever needed to be done. I mean, I was jumping from the loan side of the bank to the operations side
of
the bank.
But you really learned the business, I would
guess. Really learned the business.
Really
learned the business, and we grew that thing, you know, incredibly fast, and it was in a fantastic time, the late 90s and the early 2000s. I mean, everything was really working through there and growing quick. So we had a great opportunity, and it really propelled me, you know, for the rest of my career to have that chance.
So when the phone call came from Legacy saying, John, how do we pry you out of there? What'd that sound like?
Well, it was interesting. I got the call from Chris Harlan. It was a mutual relationship had set us up. I had never met Chris before, but I trusted the gentleman that said, you need to talk to him. And I'd heard the Harlan name, the Harlan family name. They've owned another bank called Century Bank of the Ozarks out of Gainesville, Missouri. And they've owned that since 1894. And so I've always had heard that name. They're legends in kind of the banking community in the state of Missouri. And so when you get a call from a Harlan, you take the call. And so I knew it and kind of, you know, maybe a little arrogant, a little cocky, still young at that time of, hey, I think I can go work for these guys and show them a thing or two because I know a thing or two. And I think it's been a lot of the opposite. I think they've showed me a lot.
Is so, that right?
So it's been, it's just... one of the best opportunities I've ever had.
That's phenomenal. So when you went over to the bank, what was your position?
I jumped over CFO.
Okay.
I had been the CFO over at the bank, and so when we merged and there's two CFOs, I knew their CFO was going to survive. So so to get that same opportunity to jump over at Legacy as a CFO, I took it. And it just progressed from there.
John Everett's my guest this morning on Around the Ozarks, the president and CEO of Legacy Bank and Trust. Big difference between being a CFO and a CEO.
Yes.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was fortunate enough at the bank. We employed a lot of the Jack Stack methods of the Great Game of Great Game of Business.
Which I'm in the middle of reading now.
Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah. And so... there's nothing like trying to implement that and teach that when Jack's on your board of directors. And so I had a lot of him in my ear again when I'm in my late 20s and early 30s about here's what you need to do and here's what you need to say. And Todd Parnell, the president of the bank at the time, was great to get me up in front of the staff and lead these staff meeting, these huddles and these coaching sessions, and to teach our people how to do things. So it just became a very natural leadership position for me to get up and lead our staff of where we want to go and what we want to do and how we want to get there, that I think, you know, just kind of developed some skills in me that I was able to use later when I jumped over to Legacy and to start as a CFO there and show the board of directors and leaders there that, you know, I can hopefully motivate and lead a group in the direction that I want them to go. And so that opportunity arose for the CEO position. Mm-hmm. And so I was a CFO and CEO for a period of time. And we had a departure from who was our president. So that was when I took the president and CEO position. I hired a CFO to come in for us. And so since then, I've probably the last, now it's been probably about 10 years since I've been in that position, and we've had a new CFO now.
I'm sure you've seen some things in your time, certainly with customers that you've had, where not everybody can make that transition. I mean, I've known a few CFOs. That can be a real vertical in a company. Yeah. And when all of a sudden you have responsibility across the gamut, whether in your business it could be somebody at the teller level, it could be somebody at a data entry level, it could be the person that's cleaning the place at night. I mean, that everybody's important.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, if your customer comes away saying, I'm not sure I'm going to go back.
Yeah. And that's maybe I was lucky because I wasn't a great CFO. I don't know. But, it was probably, with my father having risen at Union National, which became Boatman's, I tutored off of him. He retired as president here in the late 80s. And so I really did mentor off of him. He was a fantastic mentor to me. And so I think I just learned a lot from watching him and his temperament. And I can't believe I've been lucky enough to have him as my father, and then to study under Todd Parnell at the bank, to study under Jay Birchfield at the bank, to study under the Harlins for a period of time. I don't know if there's too many people have been as fortunate as I've been to have these kind of mentors that have brought me along the way. And so, I'm not creating anything new. I'm just replicating what people have taught me throughout my career.
Well, that you're at this stage of your career, are you finding you're mentoring some people now?
Oh, absolutely. That's the one thing I think I'm the most blessed with, and with our company. Most of my senior leadership positions are all 35, 36 or younger. Mm-hmm. My chief lending officer is 35. My CFO is 36. My head of audit and compliance is 35. There's most banks, especially rural banks, are really always struggling to find talent. A lot of small towns, it's hard to find. And somehow, some way, we've cobbled this together with and developed a lot of young talent. And I can look through, and most of our senior leadership positions are all under 40. And there's just not another bank around I see that's got that kind of youth and leadership in it. And then when you look at our results that we were just named by SNL magazine as having the 16th highest performing bank in the nation in 2018, based on our return on assets, based on our margins, based on our asset quality ratios, capital ratios, growth. For us to be named, it was inside the top 100 and to get all the way up to 16. Mm-hmm. We're the highest bank in the state of Missouri to be ranked, and we're the only bank in Southwest Missouri to reach that thing. So I can look back and say, there's no way I did that. It's that group of team that I think I have put together. When we talk about that, they have a stake in the game, they have ownership, they're motivated, they work hard. Mm-hmm. I'm blessed.
True. No, it's they're blessed to have a leader that sees it that way as well. I've never seen you wear a cap, but it's quite a feather in your cap to have that kind of a.
We were tickled. I mean, we were really excited when that came out. And I got that phone call letting us know that we had reached that designation level, and so it's been one. We're really excited. I mean, it's great. That was 2018. Now we got to worry about 2019.
Yeah, yesterday's news.
That was yesterday's, and there's 15 more banks to pass.
So. No, that's so true. So where's it going? We've got you're getting headwinds now from banks online, banks that don't exist on anything more than an app on a phone. What's happening with brick and mortar? What do you see?
That's a fantastic question.
What's the vision?
Yeah, fantastic question, because it really the deposits are the key. I mean, deposits are hard, and when you look at where how my kids bank or your kids bank or it's different. It's different, and the whole banking industry took a shot. The trust level took a shot in with the downturn. And so getting people to get that key banking relationship, some people just don't see a purpose to it. And so we know that. I mean, you can't just build brick and mortar. There will be less and less brick and mortar. There'll be more and more online. And we're starting that transition ourselves with an online account opening process, an online marketing process. I mean, we know that most people are probably looking on their phone for where they're going to go and what they're going to bank, and referrals, what are their banks, what are their friends bank, that's still important. But you're going to see more and more online. I think right now, even for a what I'd still say a largely rural bank, 25% of all of our transactions are done online.
Already?
Already. I mean, and that's not even including automatic deposits, automatic payments. I'm just saying versus what goes through our teller line, that's 75% of our transactions, daily transactions, but 25% is online. Saying it will, it's growing by leaps and bounds every month.
John Everett's my guest this morning on Around the Ozarks, the CEO and president of Legacy Bank and Trust. So at the end of the day, if you're looking at social media and you're looking at the star rating and comments that people make, what's a takeaway that you like to see? What's something where before you go to bed at night and lay your head down, you go, you know, we're really doing that right?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, you know, that is our only advantage is if I'm going to go on a convenience factor, okay, hey, Bank of America beats us. They are more convenient. I mean, they're so much bigger than us. And so we'll never win on convenience. We'll only win on customer service. And that's where we have to key. And so we survey our customers every few years to see what we're doing right. And the best thing about it is when I read and see, I'm always greeted when I walked in the door. I always get a friendly smile, a hello. They know me. They know who I am. And in some of our smaller towns, that's the activity of the day, mm-hmm. is to go to the bank and be with our employees. And we have, I can think of multiple tellers we have that have been with us for over 40 years. And
really?
I mean, oh, yeah. And so, I mean, and they love to go down and see her, or, you know, see him or whoever it may be. And so I look for that key feedback every time to make sure our customer service is spot on and responsive. Responsive is the biggest one. Mm-hmm. Because we'll screw something up. Everybody does. Everybody makes mistakes. I mean, let's just admit it. Mm-hmm. But how quickly do we respond to your problem? And do we respond quickly to your satisfaction level? And even if you're not completely satisfied, do you understand why we had to do something the way we did? That's the most important things. If we're responsive, friendly, I mean, and so I'll key on those two areas and make sure that we're always hitting that.
So do you find your way to each of the branches once
Absolutely.
Every couple of weeks, once a week?
Oh, you know, probably. I mean, I try to at least get through the quarterly at every single place. I mean, that's when I really hit our remote locations. Mm-hmm. That's probably what I'll do on those. There's some I'm in there every couple of days that I'll be around different places. I try to get around and see as many of our staff members as I can. I want to hear that feedback. I have to hear that feedback from everybody. I try to make myself as absolutely approachable as I can be. That from my newest employee that started yesterday to the one that's been with me for 40 years, they got to be able to talk to me and tell me what they see. Because, you know, my teller lines do 90%+ of my customer interaction. That's who I need to be hearing from, of what are we doing and how is it going, because they're really seeing all of my customers.
And, of course, the daughters are going into the banking business.
Of course not. No, I think somehow I bored them to death with my conversations. But, no, thankfully, if one's going to plan on being an architect, one's going to plan on being a doctor, we'll see. We got some schooling to go. So
John, we're going to wrap up here, but I want to give you a good 20 seconds to talk about your work on the Rogersville Foundation.
Yeah.
You're on the board?
Correct.
Okay, and you've got something coming up. I don't want to put you too much on the spot.
Oh, no, absolutely. No, I'm excited to talk about this. I've been on the board. We started the Community Foundation of Rogersville 4 years ago, and I was one of the founding board members that helped start it. September 28th is Rockin' Rogersville. That's a big fundraiser for the Community Foundation of Rogersville, and so we build our endowment fund so we can continually, in perpetuity, give back funds to needy charities and organizations inside and around the Rogersville area. So on September 28th from 4 to 10 is our third annual Rockin' Rogersville. We will have three different bands starting off that night. Mm-hmm. We will headline with Members Only, Machine Gun Symphony prior to that. And it's a fantastic time. It's always a great event. We've had huge crowds, fireworks show at the end, and it's, you know, food trucks and beverages and everything. And it's just a great thing for people to come out and enjoy just a great night and relax, and it's been as fantastic.
Well, we've been blessed to be partners with that.
Yeah,
we
thank you so much for helping
us with
that. Absolutely, you guys have been great partners to work with, and we're excited to do it again. And we'll, I mean, I already feel it's going to be sunny and 70 like it has been the last 2 years. I can just see it coming.
So. Now, to reach the bank, folks out there can do what? How do they get there online?
Yeah, you can go to us online at www.legacybankandtrust.com. And on there, you'll find our different locations around town. There's no 1-800 numbers, 1-800 numbers. Just dial your local bank and ask any question you've got. We're here in Springfield at the corner of Kingsley National, just kind of by where Zio's is our Springfield location. But if you're out and about the different areas, you know, we've got probably a bank pretty close to you.
I want to thank my guest this morning, John Everett, the CEO and president of Legacy Bank and Trust. Thank you, John,
Scott,
for coming
thank
in.
Thank you, sir.
And if you missed any of today's show, you can always hear it on www.mwfmarketing.fm. If you click at the top of the page, there is a button up there for ATO around the Ozarks, and drop down the box, and you can find this morning's program with John, as well as any of our other programs that we've had over the last couple of years. John, again, thank you for coming in. I want to thank my producer, Brian, for another great job this morning. You've been listening to Around the Ozarks on the Midwest Family Broadcasting Stations. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you for joining us for Around the Ozarks, a public affairs program brought to you by your local Midwest Family Broadcasting Station. Listen again next Sunday morning at 6 a.m. Find this and all other segments of Around the Ozarks at mwfmarketing.fm.